I'm so glad y'all are here tonight. I've never got to teach this before. Never got to teach this. Look at the title of, on the top of your page tonight. The title of the lesson is called Why God Is Not Moved by Your Needs. You know what I'm saying? We'll just start off here. I'm just going to start off reading this to get the flow of it. So the accusation is often made against God that, you know, people will say, well, we put a parent in jail who only provided for his children by faith. We expect parents to provide for their children simply based on their need, not their faith. God must be cruel to require us to receive by faith instead of simply supplying for us based on the simple fact that we need it. Why doesn't God supply for us according to sight and based on our need? Now, let's stop right there for a minute. When Angie, raise your hand. Everybody, that's my daughter, Angie. Now, when she was born, and we went in and looked into her little crib, we didn't, you know, and saw that she needed diapers, you know, because she made a little poopy. Believe it or not, Angie used to make little poopies, you know. And we were so proud, you know, we felt like calling Grandma and Grandpa, like Bill Cosby says, the baby made a poopy, you know, come see the poopy, you know. We're so proud. But, you know, as parents with our newborn child there, we didn't say, now, Angie, we know you don't understand us yet, but somehow, darling, you gotta live by faith, because, you know, we imitate our Father God. And so as soon as you learn how to live by faith and receive by faith, then we'll change your little poopy diaper and we'll give you a clean one. See, now what would we do with parents like that? We put them in jail. We call that abuse, don't we? I mean, you know, she runs out of food. She gets hungry, starts crying. We go in there, we see the baby bottle is empty. And we see that. And we don't wait and say, well, now, you know, your God supplies all of your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So you just, you know, start living by faith here. And then when you've got the faith, and then we'll put milk in your bottle. Now, none of us operate that way when it comes to our kids, do we? See? And we carry that thinking over in with God because we think, because we operate that way in the natural world, we can't understand. We can't. How many of y'all were at the church the night that I made the blurb on attitude? I got a letter from, you know, those tapes go everywhere. I got a letter from a pastor friend of mine in Indiana. And he says, Gary, he says, I got your tape from the prayer center and I really enjoyed it, but I am going to have to talk to you about your attitude. Oh, my God, you know. He told me about one time he was at a Larry Lee meeting, and Larry Lee was just preaching up a storm, you know, and he came right down to his closing point. And the closing point that night was going to be, and the problem with the church is falling short, is what he intended to say. But what he said was falling shorts. The crowd just fell out in the aisles, you know. Yeah, that's the problem with the church, falling shorts, you know. And then you go, you know, yeah, anyway. So anyway, God has mercy on us, amen. I keep telling y'all I'm just the donkey He rides in on, you know. Okay, but y'all see the point. When it comes to our own children, we operate by need and we operate by sight. If we see a need with our children, we provide them. And actually, we're supposed to do that with our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, if you see a need, you know, the Bible says don't just love in word only, but in deed and in truth. You know, He says don't just say be warmed and filled and send them on their way. You know, give them some of your food. Give them some blankets. If you got two coats, give them one. See? So the Lord still expects us to operate that way with our children and with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. So why in the world is it, though? Now, don't tell me y'all haven't had this question. Because people ask me all the time, why is it then that God requires to live by faith? It's a reasonable question, isn't it? You know, it's a reasonable question, all right? One time I was giving my testimony, and the part I'm talking about is when God called us to start this ministry, and He gave me real explicit instructions, take up no offerings, sell no tapes. When you mail stuff out, You buy the mailers and you pay the postage and don't even put in a return envelope. I think everybody in here has heard that. Okay? At the same time, though, he gave me some instructions that I didn't obey. Now, and again, his instructions to Gary Carpenter, personally, don't imitate me. You do what he tells you. But to me, at that same time, he gave me instructions. He said to take 3 or 4 scriptures on prosperity. Y'all have heard me teach this a lot. And start walking the floor and saying those out loud 4 hours a day. And I'm not going to go through the teaching, but y'all remember me. You've heard me tell about that. And that's on a lot of the previous tapes. And if any of you listening by tape have not heard those messages, if you'll write us at Gary Carpenter Ministries, Post Office Box 9667, Tulsa, Oklahoma, we'll send you those tapes for free. There's no charge. Anyway, that was his instruction for me in order to get rid of that poverty doctrine that was on the inside of me and start believing in El Shaddai instead of El Cheapo. I was raised to believe in El Cheapo, you know. The standard saying around the church I went to was God, you know, talking about the pastor, God, you keep him humble, we'll keep him poor. Bless God, you know. I mean, and the general idea was you couldn't just really be a man or a woman of God and have money. Not very much of it anyway, you know. So there was always this equation in my mind that if I was really going to go after God, somehow I was never going to have much of anything. Okay? Before I even go any farther, in case you never heard me say it, that doctrine is from hell. That is not God. That is not His mind. And that's not His will for you. Your father, if your father believed so much in poverty, he would live in it himself. Our Father walks on streets of gold. He has diamond doorknobs. His walls are made out of jasper and precious stones. And yet He's not going to help you with your light bill? Quiet in this Presbyterian church all of a sudden. Hallelujah. That's my favorite topic. But anyway, one time I was giving my testimony to a person concerning how my financial circumstances got so bad. See, God had told me to walk the floor and speak those confessions out 4 hours a day. And I intended to. I wanted to. Everything in me wanted to. But I didn't understand the war with Amalek that I taught a week or so ago. I didn't know my flesh was trying to overpower me. I didn't know my flesh wanted me to believe what it said instead of what God said. See, something in you knows that the more you walk with God, the more your flesh is going to die. Anything that is threatened with death will come out fighting. I use this cat a lot. Y'all see AC? He weighs 18 pounds. It's a big cat. Thank God he's gentle. But if you get him scared, you back him into a corner where he's afraid for his life, now, he'll come, won't he, Brandon? He'll come out fighting. We saw him one time. And he's not declawed either. He'll mess you up. Okay? That's the way your flesh is. See, that's the way the flesh is. When you make up your mind, I'm going to pursue God. I'm going to go after God. Whatever God says, I'm going to believe that. I don't care what I see, what I feel. God's word settles it, and that's it. You start talking like that, you make up your mind, I'm going to go pray so many zama-zama hours a day in other tongues, and I'm going to confess the word, and I'm going to worship God. I'm telling you now, yeah, that's good intentions. When you try it, something is going to rise up in you going, this is stupid. You're wasting your time. You'd be better off passing out tracts than this. I mean, it'll tell you anything. Plus, you'll think of everything that you didn't get done last week. I need to wash the car, do the dishes, paint the house, do anything but this. Okay? Now, anyway, I was telling that. I got to get past this sentence, don't I? I was telling that to a friend of mine over lunch one day, and I was telling him how bad it got, because it got bad. I kept trying to do this for months. We kept getting further and further behind on the bills. You know, it got to the point bill collectors were calling here all the time. I was not raised not to pay my bills. You know, I mean, it was just eating my insides up. But I didn't know. I knew what God had told me, see? And I was doing everything that He told me except at that point I wasn't mortified enough to make myself walk the floor and speak His word just like He told me. Now, the only thing that got me to where I'd do it, when finally it was obvious even to me, it was like I had walked up to the edge of this deep chasm. My toes were hanging, you know, like hanging ten. My toes were hanging out over the edge. And this chasm, the name of it was bankruptcy. I started getting visions of Sue and I living under a bridge, you know, of them coming and driving my car away, you know, because we were getting so far behind on the bills. Creditors were calling. It was bad. It was really bad. And that was the only thing that finally got me to the place where I started obeying God. Guess what? As soon as I started obeying God, it started working. Not the first day. It took a little while, but it wasn't very long. It didn't take him very long to start changing our circumstances. Now, that's got lots of tapes on that. You know, I've taught that here a lot. These people could teach that probably. It's kind of like Kenneth Hagin. I was a young Baptist boy on the bed of affliction. You know, I tell this story a lot, right? Okay, now watch. I was telling him all about that. I'm going to read the sentence one more time. This time I will get past it. Yeah. Once I was giving my testimony to a person concerning how my financial circumstances got so bad that I was staring bankruptcy in the face before I could bring myself to begin obeying the instructions that God had given me. Now, get his comment. Now, I'm not going to tell you who it was. This guy loves the Lord, spirit-filled, and knows a lot. Okay? His comment was, "My," he said, "you mean that even facing bankruptcy, God did not come to your rescue?" Now, there's two implied thoughts with that sentence. Two implied thoughts. One of them implied there is God is withholding somehow his blessing or his deliverance from me. That's thought number one. Thought number two is, well, God's watching your circumstances, and when it gets bad enough, he'll release his power on your behalf. Now, both of those statements are false. We all think like that more than we'd like to admit. Okay? Look, in bold letters, God is already not withholding any good thing from you. Romans 8:32 says, "He, God the Father, that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Now think about it realistically for a minute. I mean, my love for Angie doesn't compare with the love of God, you understand? But I love my daughter. I cannot conceive of loving any of you enough to have my daughter go to a cross and to take those stripes on her back and to be stripped naked on a cross for your poverty and to suffer all diseases and all sicknesses and bear them in her body so you didn't have to have. I can't even conceive of me loving any of you enough to have my daughter do that for you. But yet, that's exactly what our Father did for us. Now, he loves you enough to send his Son to do that, and somehow we think he's withholding, in that case there, that my own, he's somehow withholding my income up. It doesn't even make sense when you think about it. But yet we always have this idea in our mind, well, I don't have it, and obviously I need it, and God somehow God knows everything. He knows I need it. So the questions in our mind is, well, why doesn't he send it? That's what we're talking about tonight. Now, honestly, how many has had questions like that in your mind? Okay, I thought so. Came on a good night. All right. God, everyone say this after me. God is not my problem. He is not the one who's stuck. Okay. Now, your circumstances, now get this. If you don't get anything else, get this. Your circumstances, good or bad, has nothing, everyone say nothing, to do with obtaining any sort of blessing that you want from God. His deliverance is not based at all, and I mean not at all, on your circumstances. Most people think they are. And I hate to use this, but it's such a graphic example. In the last few months, two of our friends, born-again people, love God, spirit-filled people, word-minded enough to teach Bible studies, okay? Good people that took care of their families, took care of their children, two of them have died of cancer. Okay? The question comes up, didn't God know? Isn't God going to come at the last minute and rescue him? No, he didn't either. We have that thinking that he will. Just because based on the need. You see what I'm saying? Well, we need it so bad. No, he doesn't either. He'll let you die. And the reason I have to phrase it that way, it's not so much that he lets you die. He has no choice. He is bound by his own word. Okay, this will be clearer as we go along. I just want to make sure you understand what we're talking about. Excuse me. Hallelujah. His deliverance is not at all based on your circumstances. Now here it is, 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, all of you have heard that sort of preaching before, right? Now, the question we want to answer tonight is, why doesn't God provide for us according to need and by sight like we do for our kids? To answer that question, you have to go back to Genesis, the book of beginnings. And I quoted it here for you. Genesis 2, verses 8 and the first half of 9. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. Real common scripture. Everyone's heard it before, right? Now let's take it 1, 2, 3. First, God planted a garden. Everyone say first. God planted a garden. Second, he put his man in it. Third, God made every tree to grow. For the man. Y'all got that? 1, 2, 3. First God planted a garden. Then he made the man and put him in it. And then all these trees grew. Okay? And God made them grow. God did. Now, why is that so important? Well, I already had that on here. First God planted the garden. Second he put the man in it. Now notice, in the beginning, God did provide according to need and what we call by sight. Everything that the man could possibly ever need was in that garden. There was nothing forgotten. God didn't leave out anything that Adam needed. Everything was there. Now, have you ever thought about this? Adam didn't have to live by faith in the garden for his physical needs to be met. God had already provided them all. God is not so much different than us after all. In the beginning, it was the same with him. He says, well, before I make this man, he's going to need all this stuff. I'm going to plant a garden. I'm going to put all these seeds in here. Everything that he needs is going to be in that garden. He gets that done. Then he puts the man in it. And then God makes all these trees to grow, and he tells him, you can freely eat of all these trees. So was God provided for his needs, didn't he? So Adam, he's walking around there. He's not having to live by faith. Now, there's only one area where Adam had to live by faith. Adam was only required to live by faith concerning one thing and one thing only. And that was the word of God. When God told him in Genesis 2, verses 16 and 17, the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. Now, Adam could not literally see what would happen to him if he ate it. Now, this was something he had to receive by faith. He had to simply believe what God had said about it. As far as Adam's physical needs were concerned, they were all provided by sight. God even prepared the woman. He said it's not good that the man should be alone. Provided him the woman. Are y'all getting hot? It's really hot. Okay. Window break. Hang on just a minute.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Right. Okay. Picking back up where we were here, it says, Adam could not literally see what would happen to him if he ate. He had to simply believe what God said about it. As far as Adam's physical needs were concerned, they were all provided by sight and according to need in the beginning. God didn't start off much different than any other parents. And for Adam, he even prepared the woman. He says, well, it's not good that the man should be alone. So he took a rib, made a woman, so Adam would have everything that he needed in that garden. So God's not that different from us. Okay. Now, what man violated was the only thing that he had to believe by faith, and that was the commandment that God gave him. Adam had never seen the consequences that would ensue or that would result should he violate the command of God. Regarding those consequences, Adam had to act according to faith. Say with me, faith in God's word. Y'all got that? That's the only thing that he had to live by faith on. Everything else was provided by sight. Okay? Faith in what God had already said about it. Now, at the fall, you guys, here it is. Don't miss this part. This is good now. This is good. It was the law of faith that Adam violated. The only thing that he had to live by faith on was this word of God, this one command. He couldn't see the results of that. That he had to believe just based on what God said. And that's the thing that he violated. He violated the law of faith. And that's why the pathway back to God has to be walked by faith. Violating faith was the way out. Now appropriating faith is the way back in. Did y'all ever think about that? Cool. Cool beans, huh? Hallelujah. Now listen. God has no problem providing by sight. Like, just like Tammy, this wasn't on the tape. Tammy a while ago was talking about last week. She called over here. She had an urgent need for an airline ticket, the money to buy one, $242. Within the hour, God provided the $242. Tammy was probably like me that day, that I prayed and asked God for a laser printer at 7 o'clock in the morning. And at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, this guy comes up to the door with a laser printer under his arm and says, God told me to bring this. Right after he left, you know, I went in and got my list of petitions. And I said, God, do you know how long some of this stuff's been on this list? You know, well, how come sometimes in an hour, and sometimes you stand in months and years for things? Well, that's another night for additional tapes by Gary Carpenter. Well, anyway. But, see, God has no problem providing by sight $242, laser printer, computer, whatever it is you need. He doesn't have any problem with that if, everyone say if, he is approached by the avenue of faith, see? Okay? Need alone, get this, need, the fact that you have a need, does not move God. Because from his point of view, all of the needs have already been provided. You say, God, meet my need. And he's going, I have. But, okay, I got to tell you this. Now, we're talking 8 years ago or so now. Long time ago. Sue and I got saved in 1980, and that's been, what, 17 years going on. And so we're talking about halfway in there one time. And I was running a business. I was not a preacher by any means. I did a little Bible study. But I had a need in my business. I needed some money, and I needed it big time. I needed it yesterday. Can anyone relate to that? Relate to needing money yesterday? Okay. And I was, you know, I at that time, I was doing everything that I knew to do. Now, I've told y'all before, knowledge of the Word is a far cry from faith in the Word. Okay? My good friend that died of cancer had knowledge. Okay? There's a difference between having knowledge and faith out of the heart. Okay? Now, at that time, I had knowledge. I did not know Jesus very well at all. I knew I was going to heaven. I knew the blood had saved me from hell. I knew that he was Lord, whatever that meant. You know what I mean? And I loved him as the best I knew how. The problem was I didn't know him. I just flat didn't know him. I didn't know him like I know Sue. I didn't even know him like I do Tony. To be honest with you, and I don't know Tony all that well, but I'm getting to know him better, you know. I didn't know Jesus very well. And I had this need. And I was struggling with this very thing, and I was going, God, I forget now, it was, you know, several thousand dollars that I needed. And I kept going to God and praying, looking on it now, I was praying all wrong. We'll get to that in a little bit. But what I thought was prayer, you know, and I was, God, on the inside, don't you know I have this need? God, I have this need. You're God that answers prayer, you know. And when I would get quiet where I could hear his voice, it was always the same. I've already provided it. Now see, I was so carnal. I mean, I'm confess. You know, it's that the Bible says it's good to confess your faults one to another. Our problem sometimes when we hear God, because we're so carnal, we think so naturally. You know what I did? What do y'all think? Yeah, I started looking around the house. Because, he said, I've already provided it. And I thought he meant somewhere here, to checkbook something, God, under the couch, I never had found several thousand dollars under my couch before, I wouldn't find it, and I'd go back into prayer, because it was bad. It was a desperate situation. And I go back to God again, pray, and what I call prayer. You'll see in a minute what I mean by that, what I call prayer then. And I'd pray, God, I had this need, and it's desperate, Lord, and I need it yesterday, and I have it, Lord. Jesus said that you know my needs before I even come to you. And when I'd get quiet then, listen, I've already provided it. I never did get it, to be honest, in those days, because God never could get across to me. In those days, I didn't know about spending time with the Holy Spirit, our teacher. I didn't know what we know now about, after going with Dave's and spending lots of hours praying in the Holy Ghost. I didn't know that what God was telling me was this very lesson I'm teaching you tonight. Here's how God really taught me this. Now, if y'all can... Okay, hang on. Let me see where I am on this. There's an appropriate place to put this in. Okay. Let me go ahead and read one more paragraph, then I'm going to give you the visual example of how the Lord taught me this. Still on page one, last paragraph. God has no problem providing by sight if he is approached by the avenue of faith. Need alone does not move God. Dear Lord, learn that. Learn it. It will not move him. It will never move him, the fact that you have a need. I don't care if you need to be healed of cancer. That does not move God. Okay? You'll understand better why in a minute. Because from his point of view, all of the needs have already been provided. However, they are only accessed by faith. Those that receive the restoring grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, now that would be every person in here if you're born again. If you're born again, you have been restored, as far as God's concerned, back to his care. All right? You have been restored to grace, where your Father meets your needs, like he did for them in the garden. Only it's not by sight now. It's by faith now. It's the only thing. So once you learn how to do this, think of it. There's never a need that would not be provided. What do you think? God forgot to provide something for you? When he thought about your life, and he knows all about your life. David said, "For my comings and my goings, you already know them. You already know the end of my days." When he was thinking out your life, he forgot something? A car? He said, "Oh, I should have thought she needed a car. I didn't provide for a car for her." Dad. Oh, he wouldn't say that. Doggone. Doggone, or something. I should have thought to provide a car, light bill. She needs electricity. Oh, I should have thought of it. See, that's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. Now watch. If you're born again, you qualify and you have access once again to the Father's, think of this, unlimited resources. Every time I think about that right there, I nearly leave you guys and have a running fit. When I get to thinking about that, everything that a person could ever need has already been provided for them in Christ Jesus, the second man, the last Adam. We, the bride, the whole church is the bride, truly are in the garden again with our husband, Jesus, by faith. As far as God's concerned, it's a done deal positionally. Okay? You know what I mean by positionally? Physically, we're still on the earth. How many of y'all know? Deep revelation. You glad you came? Physically, we're on the earth. Isn't that right? Spiritually, where does the Bible say we're seated? With Christ Jesus. See? We're already with him where he is. All of those resources are available because he's Lord of all. Lord of heaven and earth. Okay? Now, I read that. It's all provided free by grace through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, who restored us back to God's free favor and abundant supply. Now, y'all, that is the real meaning of these verses that I heard preached six ways from Sunday that made no sense whatsoever. That's what these verses are talking about. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Now, where they'd always get me was with that spiritual blessing deal. See, because they always said, well, yeah, you know, that's the fruit of the Spirit and stuff, and love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, goodness, meekness, faith. You know, but forget about you need a spare tire. I mean, you know, see, and it's so they always preach it like, oh, yeah, that's spiritual stuff. You're born again, you get to go to heaven, and you can walk in love. But they never would, like apply that verse to mean, you know, natural stuff. Okay? How God got this across to me, he took me back in this teaching to the garden. And I could see Adam and Eve going through there. Now just picture this. This is for teaching's sake. This is how the Lord teaches me, so I'm going to use it with you. Let's say that, okay, we're the bride, right? The church, we're the bride. Okay, let's say we just woke up and the first moment of our existence and we're in the arms of Adam, the original one, in the garden. Okay, and we're looking around, we're in this beautiful garden. All right. Now, God had given the commandment to Adam before Eve was ever even made, formed. Okay? So, Adam's going to start showing her around the garden. He's going to start telling her everything about God. He's going to start telling her the command of God, you know? And they're going to be going through that garden, and what would she be learning? There's trees all in this garden, and there's fruit, and she can freely eat from them. So, he walks over to one tree and with his bride, and Adam does, and he says, now, this tree right here, he says, this is a healing tree. If anything ever tries to attach itself to your body, you just eat right off of this tree, and you can always have healing. See? Okay? What I like to think of a money tree in there. Would y'all like to think of a money tree? I don't know what they would have spent it on. I mean, I don't think they had quick trips or get and goes. But, you know, what if there was a provision tree. If you needed something, and, you know, I don't know what they would use. But you would go to that tree and freely eat from it. In other words, whatever they could possibly need was available to them from the trees in this garden. So can you picture Adam showing Eve around the garden and showing her where all this stuff is? Now, he would eventually come to one tree, and that would be the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And he told her, he says, now, God said, God, you can't eat of that tree. Neither one of us can eat of that tree. If we eat of that tree, we'll die. Okay? So can you picture that? Now, of course, you all know Eve was beguiled by the serpent. She ate the fruit. Adam was standing right there. First off, he didn't run the snake out. He should have. He didn't say a word. He didn't open his mouth. That's wrong too, man. Okay? and the end result was he took of the fruit. He ate of it too. And they got put out of the garden. Now, have you all ever noticed? Y'all remember that story where God put them out of the garden and he put flaming, you know, cherubs with flaming swords to keep them from going back in? Have y'all ever thought about this? Nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that God dismantled or took away that garden. Have you ever noticed that? It never says that anywhere. We just kind of assume because it's never mentioned really anymore. Okay? Now, I am not saying, don't leave here and say, Gary says there's a real Garden of Eden. But I do believe this verse, Ephesians, is referring to that when it says, spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What that garden is representative of is the grace of God. Yes. God provided everything for them in that garden free. They didn't have to work for it. It's just because they were His children. And it's a type and a shadow of, you know, the garden is a type and a shadow of the grace, the free favor of God, where God Himself provides all of your needs free just because you're His child. Think of that. One day the Lord said to me recently, He said, I kept going, well, I still don't understand exactly this because, you know, Adam was the husband and Eve was the wife, but, you know, Adam didn't have to go pick the fruit off the trees and give it to the wife. I was just thinking like that, you know, and I couldn't really understand that exactly. And then the Lord said, think of this, Eve could never have been in that garden without Adam. We never get into that garden of grace without who? Jesus. Amen. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Hallelujah. I like that. But when it says spiritual blessings, what he's saying is, you can't see it, but from God's point of view, in the Spirit, everyone say, God is a Spirit.
God is a Spirit.
See, in his realm, in the realm of the Spirit, as far as he's concerned, you're in the garden if you're in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the door. He's your husband, doesn't the Bible say? Okay? And as far as God's concerned, it's as if, and I'm not saying there's a literal spiritual Garden of Eden, or this is for teaching purposes, but God's grace is like that, though. And everything you need is contained in God's grace. And you get in there free by your husband, Jesus. You got born again? Pop! You're in there. You're in the garden. And everything you need is available, but from God's grace. And the thing of it is, it'll show up in the material realm. Can you prove that, Brother Gary? Oh, I thought you'd never ask. Why do you think I have that next verse on there? Hallelujah. Because Peter's talking about the same thing. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Excuse me. According as His, that's God's, divine power, has given unto us all things. Everyone say, all things.
All things.
That pertain unto life and godliness. Through the knowledge, which I'm getting tonight, of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, get this part. Say this part with me. Now, say, whereby
are given
unto us
exceeding great
and precious promises that by these.
By these promises,
you might be partakers of the divine nature. You know what kind of a nature God has? Father. And fathers provide. Think about that, men. You know what I'm talking about. You look at that little baby of yours that's hungry. And you just don't know where the food's going. My own daddy said this one time, when I was just a baby. Of course, I don't remember it. Mom told me, but I just a little. You know, I must have been a cute baby, wouldn't y'all think? Anyway, you know. Anyway, I was hungry, and I was just really hungry. You know, she had to get the bottle ready and everything, you know, and warm it up and whatever they do, you know, back then. She put it in my mouth, and boy, they said I just went after that bottle. Yum, 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 yum. Boy, I'm just getting after that bottle. And boy, my dad was standing there watching that. Mom said he looked at me. My dad's a big old guy. He's 6'2", and probably in those days weighed about 220 and not an ounce of fat on him. I mean, he's a man's man, okay? And I don't know where I didn't get those genes, but, you know. But anyway. He was watching that, I was going after that bottle, and he says, "You think I wouldn't go knock over a liquor store if I had to feed that boy? I'd go to jail, but my boy's going to eat." Now, if my father, my earthly father, whom the Bible says his love for me is evil compared to God's, but my father would be willing to go to jail so I could eat, think of it. What kind of nature does our God have? He's a father. He's a provider. Look at the lengths he went to, sending his only son to provide. Hallelujah. I'm going to run off. I'm telling you. I can't stand it. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises, we might be partakers of the divine nature, God's desire to and ability to provide. Now, this last part, I agonized for years what that meant. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let me just simplify it in plain old Pottawatomie, Oklahoma talk. There's two ways to go out there. The next verse we're going to look at, well, I have to read it first because the answer is Matthew 6:33. There's two ways to go. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Or you can be like the Gentiles who ignore God their Father, want nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can spend your whole life seeking after the things the world's way. That is the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, God is not opposed to you having everything. He is certainly opposed to everything having you. See? That's what that means. For years, I didn't know. For over 2 years now, Sue and I That's been our verse, Matthew 6:33. I seek after him best I know how. I'll probably be seeking him better a year from now than I am now because I'm learning more all the time. But and what I know to do right now, that's what I'm doing. As y'all know, neither one of us have a secular job. We don't take up any offerings again. We don't sell anything. We have no way of getting anything except our Father provides. That's all. That's it. The other day I needed tapes. I thought I did. It was on a Friday, I think. Yeah, Friday. It had to be because Banner Media is not open on Saturday. And it was the time of the month when we need to send out our main tape mailing. And we're sending out, you know, well over 100 tapes that day. And I looked in the ministry checkbook, and those tapes cost about $50 a box for 100 of them. We had a few, but we didn't have enough to send the mailing. And I didn't have enough in the checkbook to go buy a box of them. Okay? So every morning after I pray, I always stop by the post office because we've got a post office box there. And I thought, well, there'll be money there. And I got there, and there wasn't any offerings that day. Wasn't anything there. And if anybody sends, again, we're still not putting in return envelopes or nothing. I mean, they just have to decide on their own, go hunt their own envelope, lick a stamp, you know. But anyway, there wasn't anything there. So here's my attitude now after 2.5 years of living this way. Well, Father, looks to me like we need tapes today. Looks to me, in my wisdom, that we need them. But, you know, I quit paying the bills around here 2.5 years ago. You use my arm to write the check. But you remember you took over my bills? So, if you don't think we need them, we don't need them, that's all. And I just thank you for it. Praise you that you supply all of our needs. I'm not going to worry about it a lick. I'm going to take the rest of the day off. I don't have to do tapes now. You know? I mean, that's just kind of the attitude I had. Now, before I could drive the 2 miles from the post office to here, somebody had called the house and told Sue they had an offering check for us. Well, great. So I called them, and they said, well, what are you all doing today? Well, nothing. So why don't you go to lunch with us? We're going to be running around. And by the way, we weren't destitute. Right? We had money. We did, but there just wasn't enough to go buy that, okay? But anyway, so why don't you go have lunch with us and everything? Okay. And they said, we got some running around to do, and now I'm going since I know there's an offering. You know, well, I got to stop to make myself. I wanted to stop by Banner Media and get some tapes, okay? And I'm going to go ahead and tell you how much they gave. That check was $200. Hallelujah. Everyone say with me, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I'm thinking, well, hey, no problem. $50 for some tapes, you know? And I needed to get some labels that day, too, so it was going to run like $67. Okay. So we go with them. We have lunch, and we're running some of their errands, and we eventually work our way out to 61st and Mingo where Banner Media is, and I go in to get tapes, and I'm all ready to write out the check. And by the way, it's just a storefront place, you know, with glass all across the front. You can see in there, and these people are still with us in our car. And I'm in there, and I've told them what I wanted. They've gone and gotten the tapes, and they brought them out, and they brought the labels out. And the lady's working up my invoice, and she just told me how much it was, and I'm just fixing to write out the check. And I feel an arm on my shoulder. And I look around, and it's this lady, the same one that gave us the $200 check. And she said, God told me I'm supposed to pay for these tapes, too. So now, God provided the tapes, and we still had the $200. Now, it gets to be exciting after a while. It was scary in the beginning, okay? Scary in the beginning. But anymore, it's getting to be the most freedom thing. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to sit here and think, okay, now what am I going to use to get these people to give next week? I know I'll go down to the Arkansas River and I'll dig up some sand and put it in little bottles and tell them it's from the Holy Land. And if they'll only sprinkle this sand over their checkbooks, God will meet all their needs. You know what I'm saying? I mean, all kinds of Mickey Mouse stuff, you know, carnal stuff. Thank God we've been delivered from that. I heard Norval Hayes say one time, the whole Bible is good, and it's all full of power. And he told this story about how he cast a devil out of a guy one night by just sitting in a chair next to the guy's bed and reading the begats to him all night long. And finally that devil went off screaming, wow! The guy started foaming at the mouth and everything. And the begats has got enough power in it to run off the devil. Hallelujah. Glory. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. The devil has no defense against the Word of God. That's why I keep telling you, get the Word in you. Get it coming out your mouth with power. Hallelujah. The devil will run off. Wow. You can just start quoting the begats to him and he'll run off. He can't stand it. Hallelujah. God, yes. Oh, I'm sorry. That's fine. Hey, and that's fine. I remember a day when I wouldn't have known what to be. I was when we first got started with Michael Muccio, I didn't know where to find the book of Mark with both hands, okay? And I got used to having my thumb in the table of contents, you know, so I look real spiritual, go quick, you know. Turn to Zechariah, page 941, okay. Haggai, page 1050, okay. You know? But begets. What that's talking about is that long passage in Matthew where it says, so-and-so was the son of so-and-so, who was the son of so-and-so. And it says in the King James, it just says, you know, so-and-so begat so-and-so, who begat so-and-so. That's the begets. And that's fine. Anytime you guys ask questions like that. Boy, I remember that day. Hallelujah. Okay, big bold letters. God is your provider. He has already provided for every need, and that's why He's not moved by them. He's not moved by them at all, Anna. None. Yeah, but I need it real bad. He's still not moved by it. He's already provided it. We may freely eat from every tree in the garden of His grace. And that's what I call this, the garden of His grace. But every blessing is received by grace through faith. Remember, Adam violated the law of faith. That was the way out. The only way back in now is by the law of faith. Okay? Those who are still of the species of Adam, brackets, those who have never been born again, that's what I'm talking about, people that have not been born again, they're still outside the garden. Their need has already, now, boy, get this part. Am I going to have to separate you two? Hallelujah. Their need has already been provided for by the Father, people that's not born again, but their supply is in the garden of His grace. Access or your entry into that garden is only through Jesus Christ. Remember, He called Himself the door. Okay? Without Him, there is no way in. Now, get this. This is the part. Listen to this. Those people that aren't born again, you know how people are out there? And some Christians I know talk like this too. They may wish to accuse the Father on Judgment Day. They may want to poke a finger right up in the face of God and say to Him, "You did not supply my need." His response to them will be this: from the foundations of the world, I provided everything you ever needed. All of your provision was in the garden of my grace all the time. Because of your own refusal to enter that door, you remained outside of my provision for you. I supplied all of your need lavishly, but you chose of your own accord to live in lack. That's strong, isn't it? That is exactly how God looks at it. Exactly. Asking in the name of Jesus, in faith, believing, is how we partake of every tree. Now, see, you got to understand, God's grace, what Ephesians called in heavenly places, it's in the realm of the Spirit. We live in the realm of the material. Jesus is Lord of both heaven and earth. He is Lord of the spirit realm. He is Lord of the material realm, see? Once we go into that garden in the spirit realm and make our needs known and receive by faith, Jesus has that. That's what licenses, if you will, or authorizes Jesus to exercise His dominion on your behalf to move the physical goods onto the earth to where you need them. To you. But first you go to this realm of the Spirit by asking. We're not there. Now, someday we're going to live there with God. Someday I think we'll be living by sight again, to be honest with you. But right now we're in this world. You see? Okay? And so the whole idea is to go in the realm of the Spirit, into God's grace, ask for what we need, which authorizes Jesus, who is Lord of all, to move them, whatever has to happen, you know, send angels to talk to so-and-so, do whatever has to happen, to get the answer to that prayer to you in the material realm. That's how it works. Okay? We're going to get real down to the nitty-gritty here in a minute. Now, asking in the name of Jesus, in faith, believing, is how we partake of every tree. There simply is no other way of partaking of the fruit of the trees. God is not moved by your need because He's already been moved by it. It's already been provided for you. He didn't forget your car. He didn't forget you need a house. He didn't forget you need a paycheck. He didn't forget you need anything. He didn't forget you needed healing for your body. He didn't forget anything. He didn't forget you need a wife or a husband. Hallelujah. He has already provided for every need. The provision is already waiting for you in the garden of His grace. Or you could say it another way, in Christ Jesus. Y'all remember Paul talking about the unsearchable riches? Unsearchable riches of Christ. And then Paul says, I pray that you would know the length and the breadth and the height and the depth of Christ's love. Unsearchable. Unsearchable how much He loves us. Boy, if we ever get a revelation of that, Patrick, devil's in real trouble. Real trouble. You know? What is it that your God would not do for you? Go ahead, run for me. No. I'm about to take off, I'm telling you. They're in my way. I can't get out. Hallelujah. One day I jumped up in this chair. I got so excited I couldn't stand it.
Track around that new house.
Yeah, I'm going to have to. I need a running track. People in the neighborhood be watching. They must have hit a good spot. There they go again. Lapping the house again. Shouting hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The provision is already waiting for you in the garden of His grace. Now, don't anyone look at anybody else. Close your eyes for a minute. And I want you to think about something that each one of you needs. It may not be an urgent need, just something you need. Anything. Everyone got something in their mind? Now just think. It's already waiting for you in that garden of God's grace. You see? It's there. If you can get a revelation of that right there, you're halfway home. Anything you need, God has already provided it for you. It's already there. That's what He kept telling me 8 years ago. I've already provided it. I didn't know how to go in the garden and get it. I didn't know how to live by faith. Gary, you going to tell us how? For additional tapes. Yeah, we'll get to page 3 here in just a minute. Y'all got scared when you saw 3 pages, didn't you? No. Well, we only had 1 page last week, so I had every right. Normally we have 2 pages. Okay. Faith in the restoring grace of Jesus Christ is what accesses, y'all know what accesses mean? Makes it available to you those provisions to supply every visible need. Hallelujah. Restoring grace, I said. Restoring grace. One time God said to me, He said, what you guys call miracles, He didn't say guys. I always say it like that, but He didn't say guys. What you call miracles, God the Father was saying, what you call miracles, I simply call being restored to your Father's care. Well, of course, you can have healing. Well, of course, I'll send you $242. Well, of course. He just calls it being restored to your Father's care is all. It's so simple for Him. We're the ones that make it real hard, you know. Hallelujah. God is moved by need. God does provide by sight. So much so that He has already moved to provide every possible need any human being could ever have. Those provisions are received by grace through faith. And there's a scripture to back it up. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace are you sozoed. Now, y'all heard me talk about sozo before. You know, that's the word for saved, and we always take it to mean the new birth, which it does. It means healed, prospered, peace of mind. It means deliverance and prosperity in every area of your life. Anything you could need. For example, that guy that was born with a birth defect from his mother's womb and had never walked, when he leaped up and walked, the Bible says he was healed, and the Greek says he was sozoed. Same exact Greek word. Okay? So, for by grace are you sozoed? Through faith. Or you could say, for by grace are you delivered? Through faith. Or you could say, for by grace are you healed? Through faith. Or you could say, for by grace is your wallet filled up? Through faith. For by grace you find your husband? Through faith. For by grace you find your wife? By faith. It's all by grace, through faith. All of it. And it's free. In fact, if you try and work for it, that's the only thing that'll disqualify you. And it's not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. How many of y'all like presents? Glory to God, I do. Yeah, Johnna does, don't you, Johnna? Hallelujah. Page 3. I love presents, Johnna says. So does everybody else. God likes to give them, Johnna. He'll give them to you all the days of your life if you learn how to live this lesson. Hallelujah. Why? Okay, again, this is the action page. Now, learn to pray according to Scripture. Now, I'm going to use Norval's voice. Y'all ready? Never pray the problem, you old flaky thing. Don't do it. Never pray the problem. Is that clear enough? Y'all think you'll remember that? I said, never pray the problem. You never ever find Jesus telling anybody to pray their problem. For example, never pray like this. Y'all remember 8 years ago when I told you I thought I was praying? This is real close. Oh, Lord. I mean, I needed money and I needed it yesterday. You understand me? Oh, Lord, you know how bad things are here. And it seems like they're getting worse every day. Oh, I just don't know what we're going to do. Now, I'm going overboard here, but my kids are sick. My husband is mean to me. The water's been turned off and the car's broke down. Oh, Lord. Now, I used to pray just like this. I used to do it. I was doing it then. God, you know I need, I can't remember how many, $3,000, whatever it was. You know I need it yesterday. Oh, Lord, they're threatening me. The creditors are calling. Lord, I need it. I need it. N-E-E-D. I need it. I need it, Lord. Don't you know I need it? God is not moved by need. Remember that? I was praying just like this. Just different circumstances. My kids are sick. Now, my husband wasn't mean to me. You know, this is an example. My husband's mean to me. The water's been turned off. Our car's broken down. You could just add list upon list. But they're talking ugly about me. My mother dresses me funny. I mean, you can put anything you want, you know. Just keep on keeping on. You know, the dog bit my cat. You know, just telling the problem, you know. Oh, Lord, and besides that, Sean, I put this in for you. Besides that, I feel so discouraged. And I'm just not very spiritual today. Sean came by today. Bless his heart. He'd already been down at the church praying, you know, and he come by here and he says, I don't know what it is. I just don't feel very spiritual today. And it's all I could do to keep biting my tongue because I knew what I was going to be saying tonight. Hallelujah. But in this example here, I put, oh, Lord, and besides that, I feel so discouraged. And I'm just so weak. And I'm just so tired. All of the time. Now, don't you know God is edified from hearing that? Now, if you've been praying like that, here's Norval. You ready? Stop it! And stop it now! Quit that! That's not scriptural. You'll never move God. Your problems are just going to get worse if you do that. Jesus never said pray like that. Never. Jesus never taught us to pray the problem. He said to pray the answer. Now, here it is. Mark 11:24. This is the cornerstone of faith right here. Therefore I say unto you, in your Bible these would be red letters. Who's that? Jesus. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire. Say with me, desire.
Desire.
Say it again, desire.
Desire.
Say it again, desire. He says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Jesus said to pray what you desire. What you desire. And I, desire, 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 I put on there. You know, get it straight. Quit praying the problem. He already knows it. What, are you going to inform God about your problem? You know, Jesus said, and when he's teaching, getting ready to teach about the Lord's Prayer, he says, quit doing, don't be like the Gentiles. God knows about what you need before you come ask him. You think you're going to tell God about your problem? You know, like, God, didn't you know? That's what I was doing 8 years ago. God, don't you know I need $3,000 yesterday? Don't you see I need it? I need it, Jesus. I need it bad. And I did need it. That doesn't move him, though. Because he's up there every time I'd get quiet. What was the voice I'd hear? Sorry. I've already provided it. And I go, where? Looking under the couch. Looking, you know, checking my fence line, see if the wind blew any money up against the fence row that day. You know, I mean, anything, you know. Wondering if I ought to start digging up the backyard looking for buried coffee cans from 30 years ago or something. You know, I mean, I did, because I was so carnal. All I could think was carnal. I had never heard anybody teach about this garden of God's grace that's been provided for us, that if I just asked, he's provided it. What he's waiting for me to do is come and give him faith, because faith is what draws it out of that garden into my checkbook. Faith and nothing else. But I didn't know how to do it, Andy. I just didn't. Hallelujah. So everyone say, thank God you learned. Say, thank God I'm learning. If it works for old Gary, well, it'll sure work for me. You know, and I believe that. I know me better than you do. If it works for me, I trust me, it'll work for anybody. Okay? Hallelujah. Now, okay, y'all heard me pray that prayer up above? Let's take those same circumstances like they were real. Let's say that, okay, let's say all those things were true. All right? Lord, I don't know what we're going to do. It's bad and getting worse every day. My kids are sick. My husband's mean to me. The water's been turned off. Our car's broken down. And besides that, I'm discouraged, okay? And feel weak and tired. Let's say that was really your circumstances. How would you scripturally pray? Okay, I've got it here for you. With that, in the midst, it right in the face of all those circumstances, here's how you would do it. Oh, Lord, I love you with all of my heart. He likes that, you know. He likes that. He loves you. Do y'all know God loves your voice? He loves it when Andy remembers, oh, I haven't told God I love him today. God's just waiting for that minute when Andy remembers and says, oh, yeah, God, Father, I love you. See, he's just waiting to hear you. But anyway, that's free. Oh, Lord, I love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Now, remember, right in the midst of those circumstances, they're all true. They're, as far as in your life right now, those circumstances are going on. Here's how you pray. I love you with my heart, soul, mind, and strength. You are my God, and you cannot lie. In the name of Jesus, you have provided for all of my needs. I thank you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, my family is always healthy. Now remember, at the moment, the kids are all in there sick. But you're praying your desire. What do you desire? Sick kids? Healthy kids. What do you want?
Healthy.
Pray the desire. I thank you, Lord, that by the stripes of Jesus, lost my place, my family is always healthy. You could add anything you wanted here, wanted to there. Lord, I thank you and praise you that Jesus is my healer. You are the God that heals us, that forgives all of our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. I mean, just God, just the more you want to go with that, the better God likes it. Okay? I'm just trying to give you a baseline here. You have given me a... I found it. Thank you, though. You have given me a... Now, remember, the husband's being mean to her, right? Lord, I thank you. You've given me a godly husband, and I thank you for him. How wonderful to have a husband who is full of the fruit of the Spirit and who takes his rightful place as the priest of the home. Now, the picture I have in mind right now is this lady's real circumstances. Is this guy comes in with his dirty T-shirt, smelling like beer, and sits on the couch, and all he wants to do is have her, you know, wait on him hand and foot until he belches and finally goes off to bed. And what she does, she prays her desire. Most women call their friends and gripe about their husband. Amen. And tell them, and husbands do the same thing about their wives, and tell them how it's just horrible how they're being treated. just reinforcing over and over again with their words the same situation they already have. And then they'll go to God and start whining. I used to have a thing on the wall right over here. It said, it was one of the, like, the, y'all remember the Ghostbusters movie? It had a ghost in that slash. We had no whining zone. When you entered our house, it was a no whining zone. Whining is not allowed here. You with me? God does not like whining. Okay? So, with her t-shirt clad, beer-soaked slob of a husband that comes in and just eats Fritos on the couch and wants to be waited on hand and foot until he belches and goes off to bed at night. Okay? Right in the midst of that, she says, "Oh, Lord, I thank you for my godly husband. He's full of the fruit of the Spirit. He takes his rightful place as the priest of the home. He is so kind and gentle to me and the children. Yet we can always depend on him to be strong and courageous against our spiritual enemies." What's she praying? Her praying her desire. What? She's praying. Say it, Sue. Go ahead.
How do you think Gary got the way he did?
She's telling you the truth. For those on tape, Sue said, for those on tape, Sue saying, how do you think Gary got to be the way he is? There's more truth to that than y'all think. She did this kind of stuff for years. I mean, for years she prayed for me like this. When I wasn't quite that bad, but I was close. Okay, so self-centered, I mean, you know, the whole universe revolved around me, you know. Bless God, you know. Hallelujah. Just crazy as the devil is what I used to be. She prayed like that while I was that way. Okay? Pray your desire. This woman here in this case, what's she praying? Her desire. She's praying her desire. Quit telling your friends about your husband. Pray to God your desire. Same thing for you men about your wives. Hallelujah. Now, remember, in her case, the water had been cut off. All right, now, thank you, Lord. Wait a minute. Lord, I thank you for the home that you have provided for us. Now, I would pray that if I was sleeping under a bridge. Why? I'm praying my desire. I don't want to sleep under a bridge. Why go to God and tell him I'm sleeping under a bridge? He doesn't know it. It says pray your desire. Believe he hears you. Believe you received it. The answer's on the way. You'll be in a home soon. Okay? Okay. Lord, I thank you for the home that you have provided for us and that we have all of these wonderful utilities to enjoy. Thank you for electricity, gas, and water. Now remember, their car was broke down. So she would say, you have provided wonderfully for us in every area, and I want to thank you for our car. It is such a blessing, and it works perfectly all of the time. Doesn't it, Patrick? Hallelujah. Only reason I'm picking on Patrick, he just told me about the car devils he had last week. He's like, he fixed this thing, and then that thing, and then fixed this thing, and then that thing. And right in the midst of it, with all that work, the key to victory is, thank you, God, for my car, that it works fine all the time. It's a blessing, oh God, you know, right in the midst of it. Now, she's laughing. I'll tell you how I learned this. One time, we had that Mercury, you know, that old Mercury, and the, what do you call that thing? The heater core went out. I called to get an Mercury. I called to get an estimate because I used to have Chevrolets all the time, and those are like a 30-minute job to change a heater core. Well, I was God's man of faith and power, and I didn't have time to dirty my hands on that, you know, so did y'all hear that? Anyway. So I called to get an estimate. $500 they wanted. I said, to change the heater core? I've changed heater cores in 30 minutes. Not in a Mercury, you haven't. He said, the whole dash, everything, has to come out to the firewall. He said, for us, and we know what we're doing, it's a day out and a day in, and it's $500. I didn't no ways near have no $500, and I did not know this lesson I'm teaching you tonight, so I did not know how to get $500. You know, so here I go, Patrick, and I'm working on my car. I wish I could tell you guys that all through that whole process of about 5 days, for me, remember, they knew what they was doing. I didn't. When I'd hit my thumb with the, you know, I wish I could tell you that every time that happened, I went, Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, you know, I wish I could say that, but I can't say that. I'm not even going to say what I said. It was not edifying, okay? I did not know these things, all right? But now I would be better. I'm not saying I'd be perfect, but I've learned. I've learned. I mean, I hated changing that thing. I hated it, okay? Now, I'd still probably hate it in here. I guarantee you I'd be praying my desire. Lord, I thank you as you turn in the wrench and you're trying to get that rusty bolt out of there. You know, I thank you, God, about that time the head breaks off the boat. Thank you, God, for my car. It's anointed of God, and it works perfectly all the time. I'm sure going to pray my desire, Patrick, because I don't want to keep doing this. Amen? Amen. See, I've learned. It's better. Pray the desire right in the midst of it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Y'all liking this? Does this make sense? This is how you do it. This is how Sue and I have been living for 2.5 years. I'm not holding nothing back. This is how we do it. Hallelujah. Hey, you don't have to be in ministry. God, Jesus, everyone say, Mark 11:24
is not just for preachers.
It's for believers. Who can live by faith.
Because he gave us.
Mark 11:24. Okay? It's for you. It'll work for you with a job. I always tell everybody, if you can't live by faith with a job, don't even think about living by faith without one. You know, quit that. You start using this with your job. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Just don't see what God wants is for all of us. All of us, meaning the whole body of Christ, to quit looking at our jobs as our source.
Amen.
And understand that's just one channel of getting seed into your hand. You really ought to start thinking. Now, I'm not saying either to go out and give away your paycheck. Don't you do that. Don't you tell anybody I said it. But you start thinking of your income like seed. Okay? You start thinking of it like that. Well, this is just, you know, God just uses this really to give me seed. I'm going to use some of it, but I'm going to sow some of it. See? And start looking to God as your source and to harvest off of the seed you sow. That will eventually, man, that'll, you know, eventually you're, you know, there's no telling what he might, you may own the company someday. You see what I'm saying? You get your eyes off of that job as your source. That's just one little stream of blessing that he's using right now to get some seed to you. That's all. That's all that is. Okay? But you start putting God as your source, praying your desires like this, right in the midst of the trouble. Pray what you want. Pray what you desire. Don't keep praying unless you like trouble and want to stay in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Okay, so we got the car thing, right? It's such a blessing, and it works perfectly all the time. Now, the next part here was about when she said, I feel so discouraged, and I'm just so weak and tired all the time. Now, I know none of you ever talk like that to God. None of you ever talk like that to your friends or neighbors or, you know, anybody. But she did. Now, what should you say if you really do feel weak, discouraged, and tired all of the time? You want to pray your desire. Do you want to? How many wants to stay discouraged? Is that your desire? You want to stay weak? You want to stay tired? Well, dear God, don't pray that stuff then. Pray what you want. Pray this. Say, I thank you that you are my rock, my fortress, and my strength. I thank you for the Spirit of Christ who lives in me. And I say, now she's so weak she can't hardly get off the couch. And right then is when you say it. Now, right then is when you pray your desire. You see, you understand what I'm saying? Don't wait till you feel strong. Let the weak say, I am strong. See, when you feel that way, that's when you pray your desire. I can do all things through Christ, the Anointed One, which strengthens me. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. I love you, Lord. Thank you for loving me and my family so much. Above all, thank you for sending Jesus. Now, I'm telling you, the lady who lived literally in the circumstances I described in that first prayer, the kind I used to pray, if she'll start taking this prayer and start praying the desire, she'll start living here
eventually. Why? God cannot lie. If you trust in the Lord, He will give you, if you delight yourself in Him, He will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I'm telling you right now, it usually don't happen overnight. Our circumstances, when I finally that first day confessed the Word for 4 hours, and I'm watching, I'll have you up by 9. When I finally did start confessing the Word 4 hours, it didn't change the first day. In fact, when I got home that day, there were more bills in the mail, more bills that had come than when I left that morning. The next day after I confessed it 4 hours, it was worse. And the next day, it was worse. And it went on that way for about a week and a half before I ever saw anything in the natural change. It kept getting worse. I really, at that point, had no option. I had no option because it's bankruptcy or else. What do you got to lose, you know? About a week and a half, it wasn't miraculous. It wasn't instantaneous. $1,000 bills didn't start raining in my, you know, in my bathroom shower. Nothing, you know. But little by little, things started changing. And it wasn't very long. Was not very long. See, that was in November, and it was Christmas Eve. Y'all remember the testimony? When a man, God sent a man to my door that He had spoke to a year earlier to start setting aside a certain percentage of his income, and God wouldn't even tell him why. Wouldn't even tell him why. Just said, I want you to set this aside until I tell you otherwise, and then I'll tell you what to do with it. And that guy came to our door and says, God told me to come over here and catch you up on all of your bills through the end of the year. God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. Diligently seeking Him does not mean once every Thursday. Now, I know I'm talking to a bunch that is seeking God here. These tapes go everywhere. Bear with me. You understand what I'm saying? Once on Sunday for most people, you know, that's not diligently seeking Him. That's not going to get it done. I was real happy. I didn't feel like such a fool after that guy left, because he wound up writing us a check for $3,200. $3,200. And we were caught up for the year. Everything current. Hallelujah. Isn't that something? That's our God. Hallelujah. I wish I could tell you about some of the stuff God is doing for us right now. I can't, because we're in mid-miracle. Do y'all know what I mean by that? We're in mid. I don't like to talk. I like to wait till it's all done, and I'll tell you about it. Okay? I mean, you're gonna hardly believe this. I'm living it, and I can hardly believe it. But it's fantastic. Anyway, hallelujah. Matthew 6:8. See, Jesus told us all along. There's no point telling God about your needs, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask Him. You know what else? He knew them to the point He's already got them covered. All He's wanting from you, in that prayer that Jesus taught us, the Lord's Prayer, only thing Jesus said was, Father, give us this day our daily bread. That's symbolic for anything you need. Father, I've come to receive healing off the healing tree from the garden of your grace. It's all free, I know, by Jesus. And I just come to receive my healing, Father, and I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Father, I've come to receive a car that runs well. Because Jesus bore my poverty on the cross so that I could always have everything I need, provided free by grace. So I just thank you, Father, for a car. Whatever it is you need. But you got to believe you receive it then, not when you get it. Okay? Y'all got that? You had the teaching on that. He already knows what you need. He's already provided them for you in Christ Jesus. Asking for them and believing you receive is how you get them. There isn't any other way. Y'all, you can't earn them. You can't get it. He's not going to do it because you've been so good this week. That's called works. Now, He likes it when you're good. That's got nothing to do with you getting your blessing. You getting your blessing is based on how good Jesus was. And you're putting your faith in that. Amen? Hallelujah. Got to hurry. Pray what you desire. Never the problem. He already knows the problem. You're not telling God nothing. He is waiting for you to ask Him for the answer. Now, get this. When I start meditating on this is when I think about that running fit. There is no limit to the resources of God which have been made available for you. How many of y'all think you're going to cause God to be overdrawn on his checking account? I think he has. I think God could handle your problem and never even touch his cash reserves. What do you think? You know, you have endless, boundless resources in this grace. That's what Paul was talking about, the width, the breadth, the height, and the depth of Christ's love for you. You're never going to exhaust it. God told me one time, he says, the more of my grace you come and get, the better I like it. What would y'all like to do if you was God and had everything?
Give it away.
I'd like to bless people, wouldn't you? You think God's up there going, I hope they don't ask for too much. I want to keep all this stuff for myself. No. That's your friends that are like that. That's not God. God's not like that. He's going, you know, because for one thing, he's going, well, if they ask for the whole universe, I could create another one. It's not a problem. Endless resources. See, the more of his grace you come and get, the better he likes it. Well, that's why Jesus came and did this, so you could come get it. Well, come get it. Hallelujah. There is nothing that he forgot to provide for you. Everything you will ever need is already waiting for you. Now, here's the thing. We need to become endless resource-minded. Endless resource. Instead of need-minded. You see? There is no need that the Father has not already provided for. And then I love this verse here, Isaiah 65:24. Prophesying then, this is Isaiah prophet, hundreds of years, thousands of years before our day, prophesying about our day. And it shall come to pass, God says, that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. Glory to God. That's why every time I come up against a problem, a need, I've meditated that verse enough where, you know, at first there's the inkling of that, oh, I have a need. And then just right away it's, oh yeah, this didn't catch God by surprise.
Wow.
He's already provided for it. I just got to go to the garden and get it. I can relax. God is in charge and Jesus is Lord. Did y'all get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise your Father. Yeah. I appreciate that. And, I appreciate that. But as y'all know, and as I always say, I'm just the donkey that he rides in on, okay? It's the Word that's good. Now, the thing that would... if y'all really want to bless me, this week, make a covenant with your friends that they don't want to hear nothing coming out of your mouth except you speaking your desire. Praying your desire. And if any one of you catches the other one, well, that'll, you know, it's just so bad, and I, you know, my problems are just so bad, and you know, and all that. In love, slap them. No, no, don't do that. But it, you know, remind them. No. You'll stay in it if you keep talking like that. Speak your desire. Pray your desire. Do that, and you'll get out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Any of you that haven't eaten, or maybe you were full when you got here, there's refreshments. We got pizza loaf.